Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I keep thinking about how the Houston Astros 2017 World Series run was described as a run of destiny. They were destined to win the World Series. Now I want to scoff at that. And now I want to roll my eyes. No, they orchestrated it. They were cheating and they were affecting the outcomes in ways that their opponents were not. And so as much as I respect Jim Crane, and I do, for firing Jeff Luhnow now and AJ Hinch, I respect him so much for taking that extra step. For holding his manager and his general manager responsible. For holding them to a higher standard. I respect him so much, but I do not agree that the World Series title is not marred and smeared and tainted and now looks completely different. It does to me. I'm not an Astros fan, though. I mean, I was a fan of their run. I was thrilled for the city. I was thrilled for the region. Personally, having my mom and her husband go through Hurricane Harvey those few days, they were tough. They were scary. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't help. Their whole neighborhood was flooded. They couldn't go in or out. They were essentially homebound for 2 days. 54 inches of water at my mother's house, if I remember correctly. People were using boats to get up and down the streets in their neighborhoods. Her school was canceled for more than a week. And even after they were able to drive out of their neighborhood, the devastation that they saw all around them, the stories that I heard from people when I visited a couple months later at Christmas time, the Astros meant everything to them, even to those who weren't baseball fans. It infused hope to a region that had been devastated, to so many people who were depressed, who lost everything. I remember I went to get my hair done at the place where my mom goes, and the woman who was doing my hair, this is the holiday season after, so a couple of months after the Astros had won the World Series, and she told me how her mom had lost her house. The flood wiped out her mother's home. She was able to save a box of photos and a couple of things she grabbed before she had to evacuate. That's all she had. She was living with other family members, and there was no way she was going to be able to rebuild her house. She didn't have the money. And yet, in the middle of Jean telling me the story about her mom, she said, "But the Astros, wasn't it exciting?" I remember speaking to a pitcher from the Astros team about a month after. He had been in Vegas. I don't remember what table or what game he was playing, but he had been enjoying some of the spoils of winning the World Series. And there was a man sitting next to him at this table. I think he was playing poker, but I'm not sure. No, it wouldn't have been poker. They wouldn't have been talking. It was a table where he was sitting, and a man comes up to him and starts talking to him about how much it meant to him. That, again, he had a family member who lost everything. And that as they were trying to rebuild, dry out and rebuild, the Astros were going on this run. He said the man teared up and started crying in Vegas, telling him this story. I mean, that's what this World Series meant to the city of Houston and the region. It wasn't just baseball. But there's no calling it a team of destiny anymore. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. I would like to hear from some Astros fans. If you're out there, I got to give credit to Ravens fans. When I put out the call for you Ravens fans to show up following the Saturday night loss to the Titans. Many of you did. You called, you tweeted me, you posted on Facebook, you shared your true emotions and your disappointment. Astros fans, I'm calling on you now. We have a massive station in Houston. We have a major listening audience in Houston. And of course, there are Astros fans that are elsewhere. I'd like to hear from you. How does this make you feel? And if you don't care, that's fine. But I would like you to show up and tell me. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Corey is listening in Baltimore. Welcome to After Hours.
Hello again, Amy. Good morning.
Morning.
As a baseball fan, I was rooting for Houston myself. It was a feel-good story.
Mm-hmm.
I love that run. And if my Baltimore Orioles done something like this, I would disown them. I would cut them off. Because baseball, it shouldn't be no cheating in baseball. I mean, what they say, the integrity of the game, you're supposed to keep that. And this is very, very disappointing. And those draft picks are not guaranteed. I will go after the trophy.
How, though? How do you do that?
I would strip them of their trophy.
I mean, but I don't. Okay, well, I disagree with you. But then, what do? You just have no champion for 2017?
No, you give it to the loser.
No.
I'm sure they cheated against the loser as well. So I would strip them of that trophy because them draft picks is not guaranteed to shine. They're not guaranteed to, you know, change the franchise or anything.
Yeah, but they also lost their manager. I mean, A.J. Hinch is a major reason why they just won three consecutive seasons of 100 games. I mean, and they went to a World Series, obviously, again, this past year and went to another Game 7. That all means money for the organization, too. And A.J. Hinch, he's a big reason why. So this did hit them where it hurts. It didn't just hit them with the draft picks.
Well, he knew about the cheating. He's just as guilty as everybody else because he's supposed to step up as a manager.
Yep, I agree.
He gets no credit at all. He's supposed to step up and say, "Hey, look, guys, we can't be doing this."
No, I agree with you, but he is still a major reason why they turned that organization around, and he just paid with his dream job. He just got fired, and he's banned. He can't work anywhere else for the next year either. So, I mean, to me, I'm just putting myself in that situation. If someone banned me from a job that I love and I couldn't make money doing it for a year, that would definitely hurt me.
I understand that, Amy, but think about this. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror and say, had I not condoned this, I would still have my job.
Yeah, no, he did. He owned up to it. He made a statement today and said, it wasn't my choice, but I didn't put a stop to it, and I'm embarrassed, and I'm sorry, and I should have, and all of those things. I mean, he did say that. He said he deserves to be fired.
Well, are you familiar with the cliche, Amy? It's not cheating until you get caught. Because if that was if he really felt from his heart what he said today, how was he feeling before all this came about? He should have said something long before this came about.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And I'm extremely disappointed in him. I saw him. I felt like he was a man of integrity. And to me, this changes everything. I mean, still a great manager, but to allow this to go on, especially after he told his bench coach and told his players to knock it off, they didn't listen. It just changes how I view him, and I don't have the same respect for him anymore.
And this is another thing, Amy, that the Baltimore Orioles was sort of modeling their franchise, what Houston done. And so I was inspired. I was like, wow, okay. I'm inspired. There's hope here in Baltimore. I just pray that the Orioles don't do anything like that. I love my team. I love everything about my Orioles. But if I ever find out they cheated and they could have put a stop to this before it came out, I'll disown them.
I got you, man. I appreciate that as a fan. Thanks, Corey.
Have a great day now. Be good.
I'll try. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Dominic, who's in California. Welcome to After Hours.
Amy, I root for two teams, the Giants and anybody playing the Dodgers. If this happened to us, if you said, hey, that dynasty that we had earlier, if we were cheating during it, I'd say, okay, we still won. So I can't speak for Astros fans, but honestly, I wouldn't care. But I think for this technology thing, why don't we fight technology with technology and do what they do in football, where someone's calling in the pitches and they have, like, earpieces in.
Jam the signals. Yeah. You don't, like, run one of those jammers that they use, like, in the military.
do they do that in football now, though? I mean, I hear stories about two-minute drills that happens, right? But, I mean, if it doesn't happen in football, what are the odds it's going to happen in baseball? You just call time and be like, hey, we can't hear or something, and then you go back to the old ways. I mean, I think there's solutions for it. Rather than, you know, baseball trying to fight technology, they should embrace it.
But embrace it for cheating?
No,
or,
no, no.
Or you don't think it's cheating?
Counter the cheating.
By doing what?
That's what I'm saying. The catcher and the pitcher both have earpieces. The manager's calling the game. The only thing you run into is if the catcher calls the game, they'll just shake the call off and you can hear it.
Ah, so then what happens to the outfielders who need to know the signs? The infielders who need to relay the signs to the outfielders. They all wearing headpieces?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you got $5 million. You just got to finance this project.
Got it. Be great when somebody like they go for a diving stab in the infield or a diving stop in the outfield, and they shake their headpieces off and then slide over them and break them into five pieces.
I'm not saying it's perfect. No. It's just an idea.
All right, Dominic, I appreciate your phone call. Thanks so much. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. Coming up, your choice for Monday MVP. And pretty soon, we'll have your Touchdown Tuesday with a little twist to it from what we normally do. In the meantime, I appreciate hearing from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Roberto says, what is Justin Verlander saying? He always talks about cheaters and his hate for cheaters. Yeah, that's interesting. I have, to the best of my knowledge, have not heard from any of the Astros players yet. It's been deadly silent from the Astros in terms of the players who are still part of it and would have known, presumably. I suppose there is a chance that there are one or two Astros players who did not know this was going on, but I find that very hard to believe when these guys are crammed into small spaces and spend months and months and months on top of each other. So I don't know. I haven't seen anything from anyone yet in reaction, but you can imagine that as soon as these guys poke up their heads from wherever they're spending their off seasons, that there will be a lot of interest in their reaction. Now, Rob Manfred is choosing not to discipline or penalize any of the athletes themselves. He said, everybody knew about it. So many people were engaged in it that it's impossible to penalize all of them, especially when a lot of them are now playing for other clubs. And so he's drawing the line. He's saying that the GM and the manager are culpable and, of course, the bench coach. He's not even punishing Carlos Beltran, who is a player but is now a manager and just hired by the New York Mets. So I haven't heard anything from the Mets or from Beltran either. Seems like we've got nothing except Jim Crane, Jeff Luhnow, and AJ Hinch, who've released statements or have made comments. And then, of course, Rob Manfred. Unless I've missed it, if you guys have seen something from the Astros, any of the Astros, current or former players, please let me know.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. His heroics made us swoon this weekend.
I'm the best ever.
I am the greatest.
Now it's time to name the After Hours Monday MVP. I need a hero.
Titans in the pistol. Mariota. Now he goes in motion. Direct snap, Derrick Henry. Throws it. Jump pass in the end zone. Touchdown, Titans! Henry to Corey Davis. Oh my goodness, that play is from the 1800s.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That play also made Tim Tebow a trend on Twitter. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Mike Keith, the voice of the Tennessee Titans and the player of the week for the second week in a row, is brought to you by Grainger. So let's take a look at our repeat winner, the one who got it done. And this week, yet again, it is the best running back in the NFL who's on some kind of a tear. Derrick Henry, 195 yards rushing, the jump pass for a touchdown to Corey Davis on his 25th birthday. Derrick Henry has allowed the Titans to play this ball control game and also has taken a bunch of the pressure off his quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill has not passed for more than 100 yards in either of the Titans' playoff wins. Derrick Henry is the baseline. He's the anchor, and he's a beast. Can you imagine having, what is he, 6'3", 6'4", 250 pounds coming right at you like a freight train? No thanks. He's a difference maker, and he's also the Monday MVP, the player of the week. Sponsored by Grainger, delivering the products that keep your facility running is what Grainger does best. They've been doing it for 90 years. Visit Grainger.com for whatever you need, whenever you need it. Grainger for the ones who get it done. Thanks so much for voting in all of our polls. We will have our Touchdown Tuesday poll ready as we head through the next 90 minutes of the show, and you can find those originally on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page. And I know on Facebook, you sometimes take the time to elaborate on why you vote the way you do, and that's cool. That's what Facebook gives you. Now, we still have three games left, potentially two more games for the Tennessee Titans. We shall see. But we've got three games left in the NFL season. Wow, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, right? We've got Championship Sunday and then the Super Bowl. And Sunday on CBS, the AFC Championship will feature this matchup of two contrasting styles, because Derrick Henry and the Titans want to play that ball control game. They want to keep it away from Patrick Mahomes. It's easier said than done. They head into Arrowhead Stadium to take on Mahomes and the Chiefs' offense that put up 41 unanswered points, seven consecutive touchdown drives against the Texans. The winner, of course, heads to Super Bowl 54. It all begins with a special two-hour edition of the NFL Today. It begins at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, Sunday, only on CBS. 855-212-4227. Of course, the LSU Tigers are the undefeated national champions at 15-0. Joe Burrow, the Heisman Trophy winner, also a record-setting college football playoff championship game and an FBS record, 60 total touchdown passes this year. We'll get back to more of the college football coming up, but a lot of you still want to talk about the Astros and the sign stealing and the hammer dropping from Major League Baseball. So we've got Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch both banned from the game for a year. But in addition, they've been fired by the Astros. So they're out of jobs anyway. And we're waiting to find out what Major League Baseball will do to Alex Cora and to the Red Sox, who are accused of a different sign-stealing scheme. But Cora, implicated over and over and over, is essentially the architect of what the Astros were doing to cheat in 17 and 18. And he's got that, plus he's got this Red Sox investigations going on too. I don't know whether or not John Henry and the Red Sox front office will keep him, but I can't imagine they're going to wait out an entire year if he gets banned for a year. And it may be longer. I mean, Rob Manfred indicates that neither Luhnow nor Hinch were the ones who were setting up the system to steal signs. In fact, he said Luhnow was only peripherally aware of it. He said Hinch wasn't participating in it, but he didn't stop it. And he puts the responsibility at the feet of these managers. Well, Cora was the guy who set it up. Cora was the, along with Carlos Beltran, the only two people who were named in the commissioner's report other than Luhnow and A.J. Hinch. And that's because this whole report and letter was specific to their punishment. The only other people who were fingered, who were actually named, other than Mike Fiers, and he's named at the beginning as the guy who kind of started the whole investigation. The only other guys inside the Astros organization who are actually named are Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran. If I were Cora, I wouldn't be sleeping. I might take drugs. Drugs like, you know, melatonin, Tylenol PM. 855-212-4227. Travis is listening in California. Welcome to After Hours. Travis.
Oh, hey. Sorry. Yeah, so I'm an Astros fan.
Mm-hmm.
Or I should say I was an Astros fan.
Oh!
Yep, they're done in my book.
Okay.
Same if I caught any other team cheating. If this had come up with the 49ers, big 49ers fan, it would be the same thing. They'd be done in my book.
Hmm.
So I think they should put on the MLB website, I think they should put an asterisk on the 17 World Series.
Does it not mean the same to you now?
Yeah, doesn't mean the same thing.
Hmm.
I have a lot of family. I don't live there, but I have a lot of family that does. And like you said, it was a big, big win. It was something that brought up the community
mm-hmm.
after tragedy. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's the part that bothers me so much is for all the fans, and it wasn't even just diehard baseball fans. It was the entire city and the region, and it was labeled as this team of destiny because of all the hope it infused into the area, because it gave people a reason to get up in the morning and to get excited and to smile and to look forward to these games that were taking place at night. And now we know it wasn't pure. It wasn't 100% authentic. And so I appreciate you calling up and sharing your perspective, but I hurt for those people who are now thinking about this. And maybe there are a lot of people who don't take it as hard as you and think, okay, well, it couldn't have helped them that much. They still had to go out there and win the games, which is true. But it was obviously an advantage, or they wouldn't have continued to do it.
Yeah, definitely. And I know as far as my family goes, all Astro fans, they're still good.
But oh, yeah.
They're disappointed.
Okay, so they're disappointed, but they're still going to take it as a World Series title.
Not so much the title, just they're going to stick by their team.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah, they see it as not a win.
Interesting. So. Yeah, that sucks. And to know that they could have put a stop to it at any point, I mean, certainly A.J. Hinch knew it was happening, could have put a stop to it. It's unfortunate.
Could have stepped up, but...
Exactly. I mean, when we needed... When the team and the fan base needed him to be a leader, he shrunk back into a wallflower and just let it happen. He wasn't participating, but he was definitely aware.
With everything going on in the news with whistleblowers, this would be the time that a whistleblower should have stepped in.
Mm. Well, Mike Fiers kind of played that role, but only when he was safely out of the organization.
Yeah.
All right, Travis. Well, I appreciate your perspective. Thanks so much for calling.
Yep. Have a good night.
855-212-4227. Troy says on Facebook, the Astros were not the only team using technology to boost signs. Major League Baseball already knew other teams were doing it. We were just the first team to get caught. I disagree with the firing of our coach. The general manager should have taken the full brunt of this, and I'm sure there will be more teams exposed for doing what the Astros were doing. So the general manager... should have taken the brunt, probably because Troy doesn't believe the GM actually had a whole lot to do with them winning the World Series. But the guy who was sitting in the dugout, listening to his players bang on trash cans, listening to them share signs and talk about using the video, the guy who actually broke two video monitors to tell his bench coach and his players to knock it off and yet did not put a stop to it, did not actually take the next step. They didn't actually care. They didn't care. It's very clear that Alex Cora and the players didn't care if AJ Hinch knew and didn't like it. That's how little they respected him or his authority. They didn't care. They did it anyway. Oh, that would drive me nuts. If I was AJ Hinch, I would have been so angry about it. I might have fired Cora myself. He just sat there and let it happen. He expressed his wishes. Maybe that made him feel better. Maybe it took some of the guilt away and then just allowed it to go on around him. Oh, I just don't know how he did that. 855-212-4227. And yes, other teams certainly have done it. Maybe they'll stop doing it now because they're worried about, I mean, no doubt that's what baseball is doing, is sending a major message. If I catch you, you're screwed. That's what Rob Manfred is saying. So yeah, there are probably other teams that are doing it. I wouldn't be surprised at all. We already know the Red Sox are being investigated for using the technology. But if you're going to get caught, you're going to pay the price. Just because other teams are doing it doesn't make it cheating. Sorry. I can't give you that.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 minute to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Peter Gang misses. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Center's helping into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to at AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Green Bay Packers.
Ball to the left hash mark, 40-yard line of Seattle. Rodgers under center, single back offense. Jones the lone back, fake to Jones. Rodgers deep drop looking. Pops it over the left side. Devontae wide open. Outside the numbers 20. Cuts it back right past Flowers. 10 to the 5 to the end zone. High stepping. Touchdown. Devontae Adams. 40 yards.
The Tennessee Titans.
Titans in the pistol. Mariota. Now he goes in motion. Direct snap, Derrick Henry throws it. Jump pass in the end zone. Touchdown, Titans! Henry to Corey Davis. Oh my goodness, that play is from the 1800s.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Mahomes, who sprints out to the left side. He's holding it. He's going to try to hold it. Throws it late. And is it caught in the... It's caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! The Chiefs take the lead! And Kelce with another catch on a sprint out run pass option again! And Kelce gargling in the sweet nectar of the end zone.
Play clock down to 8. Now he stands in the gun, waits on the snap. Joe looking and throws late, but he gets Moss, left corner, and did he get in? That's a touchdown! Got it over the pylon, left side of the end zone. Thad Moss with his second touchdown of the night, his third of the season, or check that, fourth of the season.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Our Touchdown of the Week poll. We put this together every week, and usually it's a selection of NFL scores, but we decided to sneak in Joe Burrow and LSU's Heisman Trophy winner, who had yet another incredible performance in leading his Tigers over the Clemson Tigers on Monday night in New Orleans. 60 touchdown passes, and that was the record. Joe Burrow setting a new mark in FBS. Also, get this, 27 touchdown passes against top 10 opponents this year. And so he played his best when the stakes were the highest. Fourth national title in football for LSU, their first since 2007. So, yes, Joe Burrow with the call, Chris Blair on the LSU radio network. That's part of our TD of the Week poll. It's now up on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Chris is putting it on our Facebook page as well. In amongst the candidates, Devontae Adams with a 40-yard touchdown scamper. Man, once he's downwind of you, you are in trouble. Wayne Larrabee on the Packers radio network. You already picked Derrick Henry as your Monday MVP. Well, his jump pass, he didn't actually score on the ground this week. His jump pass evoked memories of Tim Tebow, and what did Mike Heath say? Decades old football on the Titans radio network. Travis Kelce, 3 touchdown receptions in the second quarter of the Chiefs rally past the Texans. Mitch Holtis with the call, 41 unanswered points in his first 3 touchdowns. Well, those were the catalyst. They were just the beginning of what was a performance that you had to see to believe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Again, you can vote on our social media, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com because it's easy. Back to our phones we go. Al is listening in Houston. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hello, Amy.
Welcome, sir.
Yes, my name is Al. I live in Houston.
Okay.
I attend the Astros game on a regular basis, and I see Jim Crane sitting in his seat. And what I want to find out, or what I want to say, is I'm pretty sure he knew something about it. He being there to all, every home game and probably walking to the clubhouse and saying congratulations for every win, he must have known something. He must have known something. So why haven't we talked about him?
Well, here's why. Because in Rob Manfred's letter, his investigation, he says that there is no evidence that Jim Crane knew anything about it. So they went through emails. They went through text messages. They went through all kinds of communication. They interviewed players. They interviewed Luhnow as well as Hinch. And they, Rob Manfred and his investigators say that they have no evidence whatsoever that the owner of the Astros knew this was happening.
At this point in time. At this point in time, right?
Well, no. They interviewed all these people who were involved going back to 2017. So that means they interviewed people who are no longer part of the Astros organization now.
My gut feeling tells me that he knew something. But then again, you know.
I mean, you can't penalize an owner or anyone, really. You can't penalize them based on a gut feeling. You have to have evidence. And they have evidence, emails, that Jeff Luhnow knew it was happening, even though he was not culpable to it. And so if they had something on Jim Crane, of course they wouldn't allow the owner to get away with it. But they went through his communications and they interviewed him and they interviewed Luhnow and Hinch, and no one implicated the owner.
Okay.
All right.
Like I said, I go to the game all the time. I see Jim Crane. Mm-hmm. He walks to the clubhouse, says hello, congratulations. And, you know, something tells me that something's missing there.
Okay. Well, as an Astros fan, does this bother you?
No. Because business as usual, Amy, business as usual. You know, the players going to do their thing. We probably go to the World Series again. And like I said, business as usual. So,
all right. Yeah. I appreciate your phone call, Al. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Amy.
Let's talk to Mike, who's in Massachusetts. Mike, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you for taking my call, Amy.
Sure.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Boom.
See, and I missed that back here in Boston because they cut you off a half hour before your show's over.
And yet here you are.
And yet here I am listening still.
Mm-hmm.
So my concern is Alex Cora. Now,
sure,
the Houston Astros played and beat the Dodgers. The following year, the Red Sox played and beat the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
How much of this was going on while Alex Cora was the manager of the Boston Red Sox, which I know they're investigating.
Right.
But are they investigating that World Series that Alex Cora won as a manager?
They are. I mean, that's something that Rob Manfred says in his letter, is that not only does he clearly identify Cora as the guy who was orchestrating all of this over the course of the 2017 run for the Astros. And as I mentioned just before our last break, other than mentioning Jeff Luhnow and AJ Hinch, the only other two people who are identified in the commissioner's report are Carlos Beltran and Alex Cora. And his name is mentioned over and over and over, that he was the one who was executing this and driving this whole thing. And so he does indicate that there will be punishment coming, but that right now baseball is still investigating the Red Sox side of this. So in 2018, of course, they were using the video replay reviewer, they're accused of it to try to steal signs. And so he says that they're still investigating, and that at some point Alex Cora, I mean, this is me who is paraphrasing, he's going to have to pay the piper as well.
I mean, I'm not comparing to Pete Rose, but if he's done it 2 years consecutively, and, you know, I really do think it should be a lifetime ban from Major League Baseball. And And how do you feel if you're a Dodgers fan going to back-to-back World Series and losing in this fashion if it turns out to be the case?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, we've heard from the MVP, Cody Bellinger, and saying that I'm proud of us for doing it the right way. But considering how close, now the 2018 World Series, the Red Sox were so much more dominant that series wasn't as close. However, the 2017 Fall Classic was tight. I mean, we're talking about extra innings. We're talking about these wild rallies. I mean, it was a game seven situation, and it was so close all the way through. And so I can imagine the Dodgers are angry about it. I would be. I'd be angry. I'd be frustrated. But I'd also feel some redemption and vindication knowing that the Astros were suffering for it now.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate everything you do and your passion towards every sport that you commentate on. You're a fantastic host. Don't stop doing what you're doing.
All right, Mike. Thanks so much. And if you ever want to listen after EEI tunes to their local programming, we are on SiriusXM 206, and we always are broadcasting on radio.com or our website, cbssportsradio.com.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Amy.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Have a great day. 855-212-4227. That's our number. I want to read you what Rob Manfred wrote about Alex Cora so you know this comes directly from his report. Cora was involved in developing both the banging scheme, meaning the trash cans, and utilizing the replay review room to decode and transmit signs. Cora participated in both schemes and through his active participation implicitly condoned the player's conduct. This is Manfred speaking. I will withhold determining the appropriate level of discipline for Cora until after the DOI completes its investigation of the allegations that the Red Sox engaged in impermissible electronic sign stealing in 2018 while Cora was the manager. So he's going to get walloped for both, especially if there's evidence that the Red Sox were also cheating in 18, which it seems like it's going to be pretty easy to prove. This is an extensive investigation that they've done for months into the Astros, and it's kind of easy now to move right into a locker room / clubhouse that Cora was in charge of in 2018 with the Red Sox. And so the commissioner's saying he's going to get disciplined, but I'm waiting until I have the full picture over the course of 17 and 18. I don't even know how he's sleeping. He's got to know it's coming. Lunau and Hinch got banned for a year from Major League Baseball without pay and then got fired. Is there any way that the ownership of the Red Sox, John Henry, is willing to wait out, let's say at minimum, a year-long ban? He's not that good. They didn't even make the playoffs this year. He's not that good. 855-212-4227. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. LSU National Champs. We'll get back to football next year after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.